HarperCollins presents The Wintringham Mystery by Anthony Barclay. Read by Mike Grady. Chapter 1. The Photograph. Bridger, confidential valet to Stephen Munro, Esquire of 196B Half Moon Street, was a man of singularly equable temperament. Even the fact that he laboured under the first name of Ebenezer, which is enough to upset anyone, did not appear to cause Mr. Bridger any sleepless nights. He bore the burden with the same calm stoicism with which he had carried out his duties for the last 8 years as servitor to Mr. Stephen Munro, both as batman in France and as general, valet, housemaid, private secretary, in the more strenuous times of peace. Bridger was 42 to his master's 27, and life held no further disillusions for him. This was fortunate, because Stephen Munro, eating the admirable kidneys and imbibing the faultless coffee which Bridger had prepared, was meditating the disclosure of a piece of news which to anybody not so fortuitously equipped would have been less of a disillusionment than a plain cataclysm. He drew his purple dressing gown a little more closely round his tall, lithe, athletic frame, and leaned back in his chair. "There's one thing I will say for you, Bridger," he remarked, with the contented sigh of the delectably fed. "You can cook kidneys."
"Yes, sir," Bridger agreed stolidly, proffering his employer a heavy silver box. "Cigarette, sir."
"Thanks." Stephen extracted one from the box and applied it to the match which Bridger was now holding out to him. He inhaled a couple of deep mouthfuls of smoke and began to stroke the hair on the left side of his head with a gesture that was habitual to him. Stephen's hair was inclined to be distinctly curly, and though this had delighted the heart of his mother, Stephen himself regarded it in the light of an affliction. As a small child, he had thought that assiduous stroking movements must succeed eventually in smoothing it out, and though, like Bridger, life held few more illusions for him, the habit persisted. "Bridger," observed Stephen, with the utmost cheerfulness, still mechanically smoothing the unsmoothable, "Bridger, I'm afraid I've got a bit of a shock for you."
"Yes, sir,"
replied Bridger politely, beginning to clear away the breakfast things. Stephen inhaled again and blew out a thin cloud towards the ceiling. "I suppose," he meditated, "that if anybody had come along during the last half dozen years and asked you what I was, the answer adjudged correct would have been that I was a gent of independent means, wouldn't it?"
"Yes, sir."
"Exactly. And that would have been the truth, Bridger. For the fact of the matter is that my means have been a jolly sight too independent. They've taken unto themselves wings, Bridger, and flown away."
"Yes, sir,"
said Bridger, apparently unmoved. "That's right," Stephen approved. "Don't be sympathetic. I know perfectly well I don't deserve it. But one must live up to one's principles, mustn't one? And my guiding principle has always been safety last."
"Yes, sir,"
Bridger assented, with a shade more emphasis, his thought perhaps on certain incidents connected with the late European fuss. Incidents which had gained for Captain Munro both a DSO and a military cross. "So when I stepped conveniently into the possession of Uncle Alfred's small wad, just when I needed it at the end of the war," Stephen went on, as if constrained to defend himself against imputations which had never been spoken, "I quite rightly decided to have half a dozen years of life, and let the future go to pot. You agree with that, I do hope, Bridger?"
"Yes, sir,"
said Bridger, rattling plates and cups together. "Well, it's gone. Oh, do stop that row, man. How can I tell you the story of my young life while you're playing at thunderstorms with that crockery?" Perhaps Stephen's nerves were not quite so non-existent as he would have liked to suppose. Bridger stopped rattling and stood respectfully to attention. "Anyhow," Stephen continued, "the long and the short of it is that I've come to the end, Bridger. Exit Stephen Munro, Esquire, gentleman of leisure, through trapdoor left. Enter Stephen Munro, world's worker. In other words, I've got to start on a job of hard labour."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?